Hi.
Hi.
How are we all today?
How are we doing?
Apologies for the delay, everybody. I was fiddling with some settings, so hopefully they're working. As far as I can see in OBS, the right green bars are going up and down, so I think it's working properly.
I think it's looking really good and should make things nice and smooth for you later when you're editing it.
Yeah, changes in the background to make post-edit that much easier. It'd be really, really good. And I just hope that it all works when I switch scenes. Please work.
It is very warm in here as well, by the way.
It is so hot. Oh, you know what I haven't done yet? I haven't checked where we're at with the Movember team donations. So I think I'm going to have to do that quickly. Yeah, because like we may have to do exercise.
Oh, okay. All right, that's fine. Let's have a look.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll just quickly look up on here.
Get that out of the way. Because I feel like last week we made a mistake, or maybe rather I made a mistake where we did the exercises and then I had to go into my lightning recap and I was just out of breath. And I was like, this is what's coming out next Monday. I'm just like trying to like catch my breath after we did it. Hopefully we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out in a second. Hang on, Teams. How was it that I
also said? Gamma, thank you for the resub as well, by the way.
Oh, legend, Gamma.
Much appreciated. We weren't even live yet when we saw your resub, so thank you.
Oh, there we go. Found me at least. So then I can find me and hopefully get to my team. So this thrilling podcast stuff.
Surely. Team. Oh, there's the team.
Oh, God. I think that's gone up. There's like an extra $50 in that. So what's that? $50. So that's two lots of 20 in there. So I think that means five each.
Oh, what? Five?
Five reps. Five reps of our exercise of choice.
Nah, that's so easy. Yeah. No, it wasn't like last week where it was like 30.
Oh, no, that's because that's when we first started putting in the this one. So yeah, because I think, oh, hang on. What was it? It was 340, I think.
Last week.
Yeah, or even yesterday when I had a look at it, I think so. $340. So that's actually $70. So, oh, actually, that's three lots. So that's 15. How about you do? Hang on. No, why am I know math
I
good.
I forgot to bring my proper shoes again. I totally like
70.
It's fine. I'll just do my squats.
That's again. Three. So that's 15. I actually, like last week I made a joke of doing this, but I actually need to do this week and do the math. So that's 15. So let's make it, I'll do eight, you do seven.
Okay, that sounds pretty good.
Let's
do
that. Let's get that out of the way now.
It wasn't as bad as last week. Where I swear to God, we did about 30 reps. Seven, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, the jeans were also not a good idea. They got their stretchy.
What possessed you to wear jeans on a day like today?
Utter laziness. Oh, who gave us the claps just then?
No, that's not claps. That's Movember donations.
Who was that?
Which I think is $20.
Who was that?
Hang on.
Thank you for the donation. Yeah, oh, my God.
So, okay, hang on.
Go back to the other screen because if you refresh it, surely it's got the new
No, one because there. That was through the Tiltify one, not the... Hang on, let me have a quick look.
Have a quick look. Which cheeky goose donated? Just when I finished my reps I was like...
That's all right. I think it was only $20, so I think, you know, we can get away with, like, one of us doing it. Or if you do three and I do two.
Oh, dog, I'll do it. It's for a good cause. We can find out who did it.
That's it. Lots of clicks
who
to get
there. Who did that after we finished and we thought we were in the clear?
I did look over and there was a bit of a smirk on Cam's face. I thought it might have been him.
No. Oh, it's Cubie.
Oh, Cubie, thank you.
Oh, hi, Cubie. Love the purple shirt. Yeah, I am actually wearing my Starlight shirt today as well.
Oh.
Thank you so much for the donation. Much appreciated. We're going to – Cubie's like, All right. How many more is that?
So that's just five. So if you do three, I'll do two.
Oh, easy. Thank you so much, Cubie. All right. I feel like I got to do these properly and do them slowly, or I'm not.
That's why I said I do star jumps because they're easy, and you know I don't, and also I don't have the ankle to do
squats.
But, yeah, no, and I've got a dodgy ankle, so I can't do that. But yes, thank you so much, QB, for that.
I'm glad I'm not so much as out of breath as I was last week. I can actually go into reading some of the news without having to like potentially bring on a heart attack or anything like that.
Who needs to? We only talk, you know. You don't need breath to do that.
Overrated. Overrated.
For sure.
All right.
But speaking of that, Stormy's lightning recap.
Oh, my lightning recap's actually going to be very lightning fast today. Only very lightning fast. Was that good English? I'm not too sure.
I think you speak English good.
Very lightning fast. Only because there aren't a lot of releases until our podcast. Our podcast is still going next week, right?
Yes. We generally go up to like a week or two before Christmas.
Yeah, cool. Easy.
We'll let you know when it's going to be our last episode for the year.
Yeah. So we'll have actually like some more proper games, not proper games, but we'll, like there are other games that are coming out, I think mainly that are getting like another release on another platform, like for example, Inscription, which is a Devolver Digital game. I believe that's coming to the Switch next week. Don't quote me on that. But in terms of my lightning recap, it's just a Goa, special Goa wrap up for this week. So if you're looking for some new reviews to read on our website, we have McPixel 3 by Arlentric, which is a sequel to the previous game, McPixel. We also have Honey, I Joined a Cult by Royce, Sonic Frontiers by Dylan, and also the latest of the Dark Pictures anthology, The Devil and Me, done by Mikey. And that only came out last Friday as well, which is awesome. And since then as well, I feel like I didn't mention this in last week's upcoming games, but Just Dance did just come out yesterday.
Just Dance
came out yesterday as well. So there you go. That's literally it. That's all I have to update you guys with.
But those are some good titles. And like mad props to Dylan, aka Grumpy Goron, for backing up God of War with another reasonably big game in Sonic Frontiers.
In such a short amount of time too. Like I don't know how he did it, but yeah, very lightning fast. Also, hello Gamey Game Face, and also Girl Germs. Hello, how are you doing? Welcome to the poddy. But yeah, no, very lightning fast. Yeah, next week it will probably have a few more games to be announced that are coming out just to basically wrap off the end of the year. Obviously, it's that time of year where things start to get a bit quieter in terms of game releases, but there's a few more coming up, so next week will be a little bit longer.
And don't forget the sales as well, because it's Black Friday. This week. Yeah, and some companies have started their Black Friday sales early. Like I was looking at the Devolver Digital one. Devolver specifically, a day before their sale started, they went, "If anybody's thinking about buying their games, you should wait a little bit."
Yeah, I saw that too, and I was like, "Good on you for telling people to wait," because you could easily let people buy a few things and be like, "Oh, actually, you know," and then, you know, tell us all. But there's so many even retails and stuff that have started their Black Friday sales already this week, which is just confusing to me. Like it's not even a day anymore or a day because it goes for a few days.
It used to be just a Friday. I think maybe America still does it a bit like that, but because Black Friday is the day after Thanksgiving
and
it's like their big sales time, and just everywhere started adopting that, and there are some good deals to be had. And like looking at Devolver's list of sales that they got, so Monkey Island, Return to Monkey Island, which is a fairly new game, has come 20% off.
And you reviewed that?
I did. Very fun point and click game. Good return to form and a good callback to like those old 90s point and click games.
Yeah. Also, you can check out those reviews on GameOnOz.com.
Exactly. And your favourite, Cult of the Lamb, there's 20% off as well.
Oh, if you're ever waiting for a time to get Cult of the Lamb, please go get it and then you can thank me later and tweet me and tell me how much you love it and that I was right.
I'm even tempted, you know.
Yeah, I know you don't like your base building kind of stuff or your roguelike.
There's something about it though that like I'm tempted and I know I'm going to get it and get sick of it in like a week because I just don't like base builders or roguelikes.
I feel like you're somewhat bound – like in spirit to get it with the amount of times we've talked about it on the potty.
I know.
And you know, we want it to win, you know, best, well, I mean, I know I want it to win best indie game of the year at the Game Awards. I feel like you should get it.
Okay. Like you should. Maybe. We'll see what happens in the break. But Inscription's on there as well. So Inscription was like a weird looking one, but I know a lot of people that played it absolutely loved it. So that's there as well. And for me, there's Trek to Yumi as well. That was a pretty cool looking sort of a game. But for me, there's two here that I absolutely loved. One is Phantom Abyss. I absolutely adored that game. So that was kind of the Indiana Jones thing. You got a whip and you're like you can whip on a wall and get some distance. It's just, it's really cool fun. It's good fun. But by far, I think the best value for money on this Devolver sale is Death's Door. I absolutely adore Death's Door. It is so good, and it's just got this little bit of humor in it. So you play as a crow, and you're basically a reaper. So you go around and you're collecting souls, and one day a soul gets away from you, so you've got to go and try and chase it down. But it's just it's fun combat. It's a really cool game. It's one of the first games in a while that prompted me, like, I just wanted to 100% it with no guides, no anything. I would just search and search, just trying to find stuff, and it's just so much fun.
So that's your top Devolver Digital sale recommendation there.
That's it, and at 50% off, $15 Australian. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, that looks pretty good. I would really like to try Return to Monkey Island. Like, I obviously haven't played the previous ones before, and I think. I could be wrong. Was Death's Door on Game Pass at some point? Or has it been?
I'm not sure.
It looks really familiar, and I don't know whether I'm mixing it up with something else, but I think I've seen this art style. Maybe it was a trailer, and that also looked good too. So, yeah, check them. Is the sale live now?
It's live now.
Yeah, awesome. So go check that out on Steam.
These are Steam prices. Yeah, I'm not sure if it was on Game Pass. I know.
I'm making stuff up.
There was a couple. Like, I know Monkey Island's just gone to Game Pass.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to buy that, that's on Game Pass. And I think Weird West, which is another one that's on sale as well.
Is that Shadow Warrior 3? What I can see there as well? Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so there's been a few that have made their way to Game Pass. So definitely keep an eye on them there if you want to try them out and play them. We want to get some impressions, especially McPixel 3's on there. It's not on sale at the moment because it's only just come out.
Yeah,
but it's only $14.50.
Yeah.
And you can read Arlentric's review on it on GameOnOz.com and see how you go there.
Awesome. We love a good sale.
We do. Love to add stuff to our piles of shame.
Yeah.
There's just too many games.
There is. My backlog's already long, like, as it is. And while I shouldn't be adding more to it, here we are.
Yep.
Here we
are. And we're going to. We're going to.
And we're
going to
keep doing it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Speaking of games, I think we should talk about some bloody good games.
Bloody good games?
Yeah.
Who's going first?
I think you can go first.
I'll go first?
Because I've queued up the trailer for your game.
I just want to double check. Cool. Well, my bloody good game of the week this week is kind of an unexpected one for me. It's not, I mean, I've been playing Modern Warfare 2 not long after it came out. But the Warzone isn't specifically my bloody good game of the week because for some reason, I couldn't find a trailer for their new DMZ mode, which also came out last Wednesday, came out same time as Warzone. It's a very different style of game mode, and it still is in some respects getting compared to Escape from Tarkov, which, like, I can see, but it's definitely its own separate thing, where it's basically an extraction type of mode where you can go in solo, or with a team of three, and you have a set of certain missions that you have to complete. You get deployed out into this map. You have about, now I want to say it's 25 minutes to try and complete those missions. And it could be things like looting certain items, like, from around the map, or it could be destroying certain vehicles, or breaking into a stronghold, which are like certain sections of the map that are flooded with like AI and stuff. And it's basically like a high-risk, high-reward style game as well. So basically, if you die, like, any items that you pick up along the way, any weapons that you pick up as well, you lose. It's a really interesting, really, really interesting style. And it's really, really fun.
Do you still go into the gulag when you die?
No, like, you're dead. Like you're dead. Mm-hmm. But you go in and it's like PvP, and it's also like PvE as well. Mm-hmm. So there will be other teams and other real players out there who obviously can loot and take your stuff. There's AI, which will obviously drop, things like money, because you still have like buy stations where you can buy certain equipment while you're there. But obviously, before it gets to that 25 minute mark, you have to be able to extract safely outside of that map, and then you get to return with all your stuff. I really enjoyed it. I'm a bit of a self-confessed loot goblin, you could call me, like when it comes to any style of game. So I think that part of the game I quite enjoy, and getting a league with better guns and things like that is always really fun. And that element of risk that is there too, if you do decide to stay a little bit longer in that area, or if you do decide to go into, you know, a few strongholds and things like that, it's really, really fun. However...
Of course, there's a however.
However,
is it a COD game?
Yeah, you can see where I'm going with this. Oh my God, this game mode has been quite buggy. Now, when I say buggy, like, you know, there's one time where there were two enemies just up in the air, which is fine because I took them out. They were stuck in like the sky, whatever. But when you have a high risk, high reward game like this, and in normal multiplayer, which me and my friends have been experiencing where the game has been crashing, there's no disconnection kind of, what do you call it? Disconnection.
So when the
security
client,
almost.
So when the client crashes, you just disconnect from the game and you can't reconnect and get in?
Well, what's been really terrible, especially with this mode like DMZ mode, where you are obviously trying to collect certain items or extract certain bits and pieces, which can take you a while to find in the map depending on what you're doing. And if your game decides to crash, there's no disconnection protection, I think is the phrase I was looking for. The character just disappears, like your items don't drop. So if you're with a teammate, they can't even pick them up for you. You just lose everything and you're back to square one. So you start with the basic backpacks and you start with your basic, like if you have taken an insured weapon into the game, you're going to have to wait for it to cool down now, even though it wasn't your fault. It's rough. I couldn't really care less if I disconnected in a normal multiplayer because, you know, it's just like run and gun. Like multiplayer, there's really kind of nothing to lose.
But it sounds like in this mode, there's a way to carry items through between
matches.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, that's hard. Like that's the whole thing. Like there was one stage where like, you know, someone I was with had like a level 2 or 3 backpack and have like a level 2 or 3 armor vest. The game crashed and they lost everything. And then they had to go back in to find those better items and equipment and stuff again, which is really, really frustrating. And if it wasn't for that, I think there would be quite a few more people who would be enjoying it. But for what it is, I'm really enjoying it. I'm quite addicted to it, especially when you're trying to do certain missions. It is definitely, I think in my opinion, it is quite hard going in as a solo player into this because the AI can be... They can be pretty, when I say AI-ish, you know, they can be pretty silly and sometimes not know what they're doing. But then you also have some really hard, like lots of groups of AI, which are quite overwhelming.
Just quietly, that doesn't change between AI and real people either. Sometimes they really know what they're doing and sometimes they don't.
No, well, I mean, like, you know, you have like AI who are clearly like walking into a wall and you're like, oh yeah, I'll get you. And then there's like 10 other ones that come out from around the corner and you're like, well, I'm dead.
What it really was, it was bait. They've just baited you into killing this one guy and then you're like, there's somebody here.
You know what would be funny? You walk towards the wall and she'll think that you're free for the taking and we'll all come out around the corner and get her. It's definitely, I think going in solo, if you had like a rifle or a good long range weapon, like you could probably... do a little bit better. Like I wouldn't recommend going in solo starting out. Like if you could go in with a squad and you can already feel with a squad if you want to, that's really great. I'm really enjoying it. I think this one's taken me by surprise. My biggest questions I think coming into obviously the launch of this new game mode for COD now is how well it's going to be supported. Mm-hmm. And then I guess I in terms of the game in general, how well they're going to fix those issues in terms of the disconnection protection and the crashing and things like that. And just for reference, I am playing this on PC.
190 gig I saw.
Jeez. It was insane. Even the updates and stuff were like 30 plus gig and stuff like that too. But yeah, look, I mean, if bugs and rubbish crashing and stuff aside, the actual game mode itself, I think everyone should try. It is, I don't know if DMZ is free. It says it's in beta. And before it came out, it didn't say it was going to be in beta, which was really interesting. Mm. So when they put it into the game, it just had this beta tag on it. And we're like, oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. I was like, okay. But yeah, if you've got it, definitely give it a go with some mates. It is quite fun. But that is my bloody good game of the week.
So I do have one question to kind of finish on with that. So it sounds like you can go into the DMZ and you can bring equipment that you've already got.
Yeah.
So that means that players that have been playing that for a while have got a significant advantage to people that are coming in new that will probably just have. I don't know what the base starting equipment is, but I can't imagine that it's very good.
No, I mean, like, you could get by well if you play smart enough, and I think because the map is a decent size as well, I found it personally quite rare versing real players, and I feel like it's quite easy to identify those real players based on whatever armor they have. If they are, like, you are right to an extent, but again, like, the longer that you end up sticking with that higher equipment, you know, it only takes one kill for you to lose all of it and have to restart again. So yeah, it's an interesting one. I think if you're going in, yeah, that's right. Gamma said that they usually have like a purple hit marker or something on them. Okay. So you can kind of distinguish between the two. But I think it's quite fun. It almost makes me want to. And again, like, I don't want to compare the two because they're two different things. But I do have Tarkov and I have always wanted to get into it and learn. And that is very complex. But this COD mode seems like its own separate thing. Mm. Just the extraction mode in general, it's a lot more simpler. I think it's a bit more approachable than probably Tarkov is. But yeah, I mean, I think someone in chat said that DMZ is free with Warzone. So yeah, you've got nothing to lose. Just give it a go and see what you think. And, you know, feel free to let me know what you think as well, because I've actually put quite a few amount of hours into it now. I'm quite enjoying it.
And buy that new hard drive to install it onto.
Yeah, that too.
Cool, so that's Stormy's bloody good game of the week right there. So let's we're going to move on to my bloody good game of the week. And so last night, so we unlocked through our November fundraising the Goa team stream. We played a video game and we played Fall Guys. And it's been a little while since I played Fall Guys, but oh my god, it is just still so much fun.
When was the last time you'd played it before yesterday, by the way?
When it first went free to play.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's been a little while.
And before that, I hadn't played it since it first came out, so I bought it on release, and I had a lot of fun with it. It was a bloody good game. It was hard to get into games that weekend just because of the success and the amount of servers that they had to spin up to cope with all the influx of players. And then when it went free to play, it was good for me because it meant that there was this influx of new players. And I played a couple of games that night. The first game I went out in the first round. The second game I won a crown. Mm. So it was just like, cool. I like this, you know.
There's something different about playing with people you know versus people you don't know. Because I found myself getting very heated. Like, I knew I did mute myself because I was also kind of like battling my cats jumping onto the computer at the same time. But I found myself getting more, like, heated playing, knowing I was playing with people that I knew rather than just randoms.
Especially Bloody Menthonzo, who spent the first couple of games just griefing.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was Menthonzo, but I'm pretty sure it was. Like, the first game that I was playing, I'm pretty sure I was just getting grabbed, like, and I couldn't move. And I was trying to, like, I hadn't seen the game mode before where you had the different lights you had to jump on.
Oh, yeah.
And I was getting grabbed and I was like, I just want to win.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry. Let me jump on the lights.
But that's the fun of Fall Guys. It is janky as hell, but it is just still so much fun with those jank physics and doing stuff. Like, we were playing one later on. There was like this big slime slide and I'm eyeing it off. I can see there's like this bouncy triangle thing at the end. And like the way it went, so the slide went down and then it curved around and came back underneath. And I'm sitting there going, I'm going to bounce on that thing and jump over the railing. But no, the buggers put an invisible wall there, didn't they? And spoiled all my fun.
Oh, no.
I wondered why more people weren't trying to do that because it didn't look all that hard to get on top of.
Yeah. It reminds me of, I think it's the Whirly Gig one where it's all the fans and you can either go down the middle with the one big fan and if you make it, you hit the middle bit. Or you go around the side, and I'm always like, I'm going to go down the middle. I'm going to go down the middle.
You've always got to try it at least once.
Yeah. Styx, also thank you for the resub as well. 58 months straight.
He is our longest serving sub, Styx. Legend thank of a man so that much. He is.
Did you enjoy it? Like, is it kind of what you were expecting?
It's still Fall Guys, just with different map. Like, a lot more different maps have been introduced, which is great because I think that was the problem that Fall Guys had when it first came out, was that it's a live service game, and they did gradually do it. They brought in little variations on the map, so different obstacles would pop in, like the big
do you remember the
big Chungus? They had, it was just this big ass hammer, and if you jumped in front of it at the right time, it kind of just yeeted you to the end. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's stuff like that. And the maps as well have become like high risk, high reward sort of thing. So if you can do the hard thing and get through, then you'll get there quicker.
Mm.
But if not, then you'll get knocked off and have to go back, or like the whirly gig where if you beat the big fan in the middle, then that's a much shorter way than having to go around the outside. So
yeah sometimes the slow and steady wins the race tactic does work. But you know, if you're lucky enough, you can kind of skip your way through. But it was good. Did you find, because obviously when we were doing those custom games, where you had the room code and stuff like that, we ended up playing a lot of the same different maps. When you went back to playing like the free-for-all team group mode, did you get to experience more of the newer maps you hadn't seen yet, or did you get hit with a lot of the same?
Bit of the same and bit of new as well.
Yeah.
Because that slime slide one I hadn't seen before.
That doesn't sound familiar to me actually either.
And even there was like a lily pad one, which I think I'd played once before.
Is that the one that we played just before I left when it was between me and Menthonzo?
I think so, yeah.
And there's a bunch of lily pads, and if you miss one, then you're in the water and you have to go to the – I like that one.
And it had the frogs on there, and every now and then they would puff up and boop you off the
– Oh, no, I do know that one. Is that on the really narrow platforms as well? Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. It's still a lot of fun. And when you're playing with people – although I would like to lower the limit on the custom games, because you have to have a minimum of 10 people to play a custom game.
Yeah.
I have to go back and look at it, but the being able to select different maps didn't really seem to do. Like, how many games of Hexagon did we play?
Yeah,
like,
too many. Too many. Arguably, too many games of Hexagon. I think. Yeah, I agree with you. It's hard because I think you could still enjoy some of the other game modes with three people. So I think it's a shame when you're kind of limited in that aspect. Otherwise, you're kind of just sitting there waiting for that 10th person to come through.
Or even just a bit more customization where you can go, cool, we're going to – these are our selection of levels that we would like to pick from, so you can exclude ones that you don't like. Because there did seem to be able to select different modes, but like there was one mode we picked where it was the same map with a few different variations until only one person was left. But look, and that's an improvement, and it's gone free to play now, so like you can see that it's been 2 years I think since Fall Guys came out, and they're still going with, well, they've just moved to this free to play model, and it's just fun. Like it's just chaotic fun, and I love it. And that's my bloody good game of the week, thanks to Aussie Broadband.
Thanks, Aussie Broadband. Can I make a quick, like, I'm going to call someone out for 2 seconds on the topic of Fall Guys and skins. When we first loaded in, do you remember Reflex was one of the only people that didn't have one, and then you heard him later say that he got the alligator one? Yeah. He was the only one out of all of us that didn't have a cool skin, and if that wasn't peer pressure from the game, I don't know what was, because we had no part of that.
That's right. And Zulu came in later on, Royce Wilson, our editor-in-chief, and he had nothing on, but he cannot be peer pressured into stuff like that.
Oh, Reflex did though.
Yeah, oh, I know. Reflex definitely did. Zulu did not.
Out of nowhere, like, because we were sitting in the lobby, and then Doom Cutie had their Doctor Who ones on, and then I had my cool, I think it was I can't remember what it was. It was an Amazon Prime one, which looked really cool. And I heard Reflex at one point be like, oh, yeah, like kind of looking at all our skins, and then later, he's like, I got an alligator suit, guys. He's like, I couldn't be the only one. And I just thought that was quite funny. Any skins that you would like to see in the game?
I want the, because after Untitled Goose Game came out, they released a goose skin, and I kind of still want that skin.
I didn't even realize they did a goose one.
Yeah, because I think Untitled Goose Game only came out a few months after Fall Guys did, and I'm just sitting there going, I want that skin. I think I got half of it.
I love that.
But there's that. I wouldn't mind. I'm just trying to think, because I know I've got an Assassin's Creed.
The Ezio one, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And I got the pigeon one that I bust out every now and then.
Oh, just the pigeon one's good.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know, I kind of like a Tron one, but I get the feeling that there may have already been a Tron one, just like with all the fluoro stuff around the helmets and things. I reckon that'd be pretty cool.
If they ever did a collaboration with Disney, that would be madness. I should just think how much IP they've got to play with there in terms of the different costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Coming for actually, guys, you haven't done it yet.
A good one, Slimer from the Ghostbusters. I think that would just fit in so
that'd be
well.
Really good.
Yeah,
a little the marshmallow.
Yeah, Stay Puft well. Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, with the little hat. Come on, Fall Guys.
I can do that. Let's make it happen. They did the Jungle Book and Fall Guys.
Oh, okay. That's close enough. Yeah. They're getting there.
Yeah, that's it. They do lots of really cool collaborations. So that's
yeah.
Awesome.
I don't know how I missed the Doctor Who one because the Dalek was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I saw that because it was like there was a Tom Baker Doctor one, which, you know, the one with the big scarf. Mm. And then there was the most recent Doctor.
Yeah.
Jodie Whittaker.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Yeah.
I like it.
I miss Nightmare Before Christmas skins. Oh.
I only just saw that recently.
The Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm. I love that
movie. It's not an old movie, but it's an older movie.
Yeah.
I thought it only came out in the last like 5-10 years. No, it's older than that.
No, it's like 90s, I think. It's stop motion clay animation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good. I love that movie. I love Oogie Boogie.
Is it a Halloween movie or Christmas movie?
Why not both?
Touché.
Technically.
Because I've had people ask me that before and I'm like, I don't know.
Well, it is both because it starts at Halloween and ends at Christmas. So, you know.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like it's Christmas. If they're working towards Christmas.
Mm.
But then Jack, I don't know. This is like a whole other episode.
I was going to say, why not both? We need to start up a new podcast where we can talk about movies to our heart's content.
Movies and TV shows.
Yep. But we are Game on Oz. We are not Movies on Oz. So let's keep going with some video game talk here. So one that came out recently as well is that Blizzard looks like they're probably stepping out of China.
Mm.
So this comes because for Western companies or non-Chinese companies to do business in America, they need to go through a Chinese company. It's part of the reason why Tencent's so big because most game companies have gone through Tencent to get their stuff into China. But Blizzard had an arrangement, and this is just Blizzard, by the way. So this is the Blizzard company inside of Activision Blizzard had an arrangement with a group called NetEase. And it sounds like they haven't liked the conditions of that contract and they're basically not renewing. So come the 21st of January next year, all Blizzard titles, World of Warcraft, Overwatch, Diablo, will disappear from China.
Wow.
That's big. That's huge. Like, to be cutting out from that market, that is a ridiculous amount of money that Blizzard are saying no to there. And now I really wonder what's in these terms and conditions that have made them say no.
Yeah, it's really, that's interesting. I don't know how I actually miss this topic, which I've been obviously looking forward to hearing what you were going to say about it. And that, you know, these aren't small games. These are huge games.
No, these are huge.
Huge followings.
Well, especially Diablo Immortal in particular feels like it was made for the Asian market because it's a mobile game and mobile gaming is huge in Asia. And now you're saying you're going to just not have it in China. Mm. Yeah, it's...
That's a big... Yeah.
It's fraught with, like, anything to do with particularly criticizing China is fraught with danger and, you know, don't at me, China. But, it just kind of makes me feel about, like... If the terms and conditions were the Chinese government going, we want data on our citizens that are playing there, I don't think Blizzard would have worried too much about that. I think that they would have gone, Chinese government already monitors their citizens a hell of a lot. So it kind of makes me think that maybe it was something of them forcing Blizzard to capture data of people outside of China. I have no basis for this other than my own particular thoughts, and it's a great way to start a rumor mill, but yeah, that kind of just says to me that maybe China was overstepping, and it also makes me wonder for other game companies that operate in China, are they going to be doing the same thing? If they say no, what are they agreeing to that Blizzard said no? If they say yes, what are they agreeing to that Blizzard said no to?
So is this concrete now that they're officially, like, as of January this, next year.
This came, the announcement for this came from a press release through Blizzard. So Blizzard have announced that it's happening. Whether this is a negotiating tactic to maybe get NetEase to come back and give them some more favourable terms. To,
like, put the pressure on, is that what you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, it could possibly be, but that's 2 months. Like, it's not very far away.
No, that's not a lot of time to sort out something that big.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be easy enough. It'll just say, cool, well, we don't any servers that are in China, cool, you can't play this game anymore.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
It wouldn't take long to block it. But, but yeah, it's an interesting thing that, like I say, it's got to be something big for Blizzard to have stepped back and say.
Did Blizzard go into any detail about it, or were they just like.
No, just said that the contract that NetEase were offering them were not to their liking, and so they weren't accepting it.
And that was it?
Yeah, they didn't say what. And that's the thing about these things as well. You'll never find out what it is, because all those contracts are commercial and
confidential.
So,
yeah.
You're not going to find out.
Yeah, right. Wow.
Yeah. So Charlie Golf in chat says, China is cracking down on what content is shown within the country, so I wouldn't be surprised if the my proposed some massive censoring. Yeah. I'm not so sure about the censoring part of it, but look, China has a big habit of doing it, to the point where, like, all the stuff for the Star Wars sequel trilogy. Like, you know how big Finn was in
that. Oh, are you talking about the posters?
Yeah, he didn't feature on any of the posters.
No, I remember that.
Yeah, in China.
I remember that at the time it was happening, and that was, that was really heartbreaking, I think,
to see. And even Winnie the Pooh with Disney, when the Chinese premier or the head of state or whatever he's called got compared to Winnie the Pooh, and basically Winnie the Pooh kind of disappeared from Disney. Because he was, like, they didn't want to be associated with that and wanted the Chinese market.
Oh, yeah. No, I do remember the Star Wars thing very vividly, though, because I was following, obviously, Star Wars or the new trilogy as it was releasing at the time. And I remember that being seen a lot. Either Finn wasn't on the posters or just made really small that you couldn't see him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know John Boyega, in general, wasn't happy with
Disney. Of course not. Like, no one would be.
And, not just about that, but about Star Wars in particular, I think, and the way, it was all filmed.
That's a whole other kettle of fish, wasn't it?
And once again, that is Movies on Oz, not Games on Oz. So, but it'll be interesting to see whether this is a negotiating tactic by Blizzard or whether it's a real deal, we can't stomach this, which, consider. And I was about to say, considering that, they're from Activision Blizzard and they've done some really dodgy stuff in the past, but maybe they're trying to clean up. Waiting for that Microsoft purchase to finally go through. How long? That's got to be close to a year now.
No, I feel like it's less than a year. I remember us chatting about it when they first announced it this year. It definitely hasn't been a year yet. It's been several months at the very least. When I remember us doing the podcast about it, and we're talking about everything, but I don't think. It's been quite a year yet. I think it's been a little.
So
it's been a decent amount less than that.
There's an article on Microsoft's website from the 18th of January 2022. So that's still only 9 months.
No,
that's 9
really?
Months ago.
Really?
Yeah. So that
I remember us bringing up this image, this Xbox and Activision Blizzard image with all the different titles.
I got to show this image because I love. That we can look at these games, and
I feel like
one of these things familiar. Is not like the other one. So let's just have a quick look at this. So we've got Overwatch, Diablo, Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, StarCraft, and Candy Crush.
Like, I'm not six biggest titles.
I'm not denying that Candy Crush isn't a big game, but it is not. Not one that I would put in with the likes of World of Warcraft, Call of Duty, Diablo, StarCraft, and Overwatch. Although that said,
it have a really big follow. We love, but obviously we're not primarily mobile gamers ourselves. But when you think about Candy Crush, like, I don't think there's anyone out there that doesn't know what Candy Crush is. Like, I'll give it to them. Maybe it does belong in that poster. But it does look a little bit funny because apart from Overwatch, everything on there looks pretty gritty and pretty like, oh, yeah, gaming. And then Candy Crush has, like, the cute little candy, like, grape and the sweets and stuff on there. It's the variety.
Yeah.
It's...
It's some good variety there. But anyway, it has been going on since January, so that's 9 months coming up.
I don't know what I was talking about.
All because Sony doesn't want it to happen, and I think the main argument for Sony has been centered around COD.
Yeah, like, COD is so bad. I didn't realize until I watched the trailers, and just for context, like my first COD game was COD Black Ops 4, which wasn't that long ago, obviously. And I didn't realize until I saw the trailers for like the next few COD games and stuff that came from that, because I was obviously more aware of it and I got into it, how much they plugged like this the PlayStation exclusivity for certain things in COD. Mm. Or like when they showed the trailers, it was always the PlayStation, some kind of reference or logo kind of thing showing PlayStation on there. Never noticed it until then.
I'm like Sony's one to talk about exclusivity. Like,
but didn't they make Spider-Man in the Marvel's Avengers game exclusive to PlayStation?
Yeah, exactly. And like even when they're releasing their games on the PC, they're $120. Although I think the more recent ones were a more reasonable price, but it's still like Final Fantasy VII. I was waiting to play it, the Final Fantasy VII remake. I was waiting to play that for ages, and it came out on PC, and it's $120. I'm not paying that for a game that's 2 years old.
I don't know. I feel like Sony isn't in the right to get upset about exclusivity if they're the ones that have so many AAA titles exclusive to them. I mean, I'm sure obviously there's more to it than just that on the surface, but yeah, I don't know. I just want to get some updates.
Every now and then you get a little bit of a news story that comes out, and I think I saw something when I was Googling for when Microsoft first announced. Oh, hang on, can I spell Microsoft? Yeah, when Microsoft first announced they were buying Activision. So there was a story from.
It's such an interesting thing when it comes to things like, and I say this obviously very loosely, but like console wars. Yeah. It always makes me think. You know, obviously everyone's got different reasons for getting a certain console, but that deciding factor that brings people over that line, is it the exclusive games or are people just going with whatever their mates do? Because obviously not everything's cross-platform and things like that as well. I think it is
titles.
Yeah.
And it's a lot. It's something I've mentioned a couple of times. It's why that you see people still advertising. We've got PlayStation 5s, but you never see places advertising that they've got Xbox Series X's.
Yeah.
Because people...
I've noticed that too.
This strategy for Sony is working. They're selling a shit ton of PlayStation 5, but Microsoft's strategy is different. It's let's game on the computer, on PC, let's game on the next-gen Xbox, let's game on the Xbox Ones, you know? So there's still, you know, a lot of variety that you can have there. And, yeah, Microsoft have... I missed some big AAA titles, I think, on their system. But, like, that's going to be fixed in a bit. Like, they bought ZeniMax, so they've got Bethesda, Obsidian. Mm. Well, Obsidian just released Pentiment on Xbox and PC there. There's definitely still a lure for people buying Sony stuff.
Yeah.
And why they can charge that amount. And... like, I really like the Microsoft model where it's play anything anywhere, even like their cloud gaming stuff. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But the old model's still working for Sony, so why would they change it? And they're going to fight tooth and nail for a title like COD to still be on their platform.
I think it's an interesting discussion in general to have. Girl Gems just said, definitely titles. I bought my first Xbox for Halo at every generation after for more Master Chief, which is... awesome. Like, I mean, that's a good example. Obviously, these exclusive bringing people in. When I first started gaming, I would have just turned 18, so it wasn't that long ago. But I only got an Xbox because Charlie Golf had an Xbox, and everyone that Charlie Golf was playing with was also playing Xbox, and I think they were all playing, oh God, what were they playing at the time? I think it was Destiny. I think The Division maybe at one point as well. And that's the only reason I got it, because I didn't know any different. And obviously I was very new to gaming at the time. Mm. And the only reason later on down the track where I was like, oh, I wish I had a PlayStation, was only really for Spider-Man. And, you know, at the time, you know, I maybe probably would have played Little Big Planet, Ratchet and Clank. For me, I kind of went with what everyone else had, because the ease and the convenience of being playing on the same console. And I think around that time, cross-platform wasn't as prominent then. Like, you could disagree with me here, but I feel like cross-platform has probably been a bit more common in the last...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cross-platform was not a thing until almost this generation. Like, it was a little bit in the previous console generation, but cross-platform, like... If you told somebody that they could get a Nintendo game and play against somebody on an Xbox back in the, I want to say Nintendo 64 days, or it might have been GameCube and Xbox, they would have laughed at you, especially like the way Xbox Live was. It's like that cross-platform stuff and cooperation between companies, like console companies in particular. PC companies are like, let's have it on Steam, let's have it on Epic, let's have it everywhere where people can buy it, and they don't really care. But yeah, having that cross-platform play is a game changer, especially for indie devs.
It's interesting, isn't it? And I was curious at the time when the new gen consoles had come out, and I was very grateful and very lucky to be able to get a hold of both pretty much around the same time, the Series X and the PS5, to kind of see what I'd play more of.
Mm.
And initially I was like, no, it's going to be the PlayStation, obviously, because, I don't know, they obviously had the Spider-Man Miles Morales and things like that too. But looking back, I probably arguably played my Xbox more, not just because of my friends, but because of Game Pass.
Mm.
So, I think it'd be interesting to see where the whole Microsoft, Activision, Blizzard / COD thing kind of goes, because that could be really game-changing. And I know we talk about this all the time, and obviously we're not sponsored or partnered with Microsoft or Game Pass yet.
Drop into our DMs, we're open, have a chat.
And we talk about Game Pass a lot, but I feel like it gets slept on quite a bit, and that is the reason why I play at the moment my Xbox more. Unless there is an exclusive PlayStation game that comes around, then I take that console back out again. But it's interesting. It's different for everyone.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't know. It kind of gets framed sometimes as the new versus the old, but I don't think it's quite that. I think these are just two different ways of doing business. And Sony are doing things the old way. And like I said, it's working for them. But Microsoft also have PC gaming that they can do as well. And the way they've gone all in on the different services, it's a different way of doing things. And I got to say, I like the Microsoft way more than the Sony way.
Yeah, and I think the reception to the different tier memberships that PlayStation Plus have introduced recently, I don't hear too much about it. And arguably on some of the PlayStation forums that I'm on like Facebook and things like that, people aren't the biggest fans of them. I don't think it gives them as big a bang for their buck as it does compared to something like Game Pass. I think they better be careful.
I'm not so sure. Because, we're reasonably mature and thinking adults here. So we go, whatever you want to play.
Most
of us. Not me. I don't know. No. But, and we're like, cool, just everybody play what they like. But I can remember being a kid and being a Nintendo kid, and everybody, sometime somebody mentioned Sega, it was just like, Sega. Ew. I don't want to touch that. No.
Yeah.
What the hell is this hedgehog? Give me the red Mario. But so look, it does happen, and people like what they like, and they will defend what they like. And if they want to play the games, fine, do it.
You play what do you want to play.
And that's it. Lots of different games out there that you can play. And hopefully in Australia, we're going to be seeing some more in years to come, because going to get a little bit dry with this, but there's been a bill that's been introduced to Parliament, which is the digital games tax offset. So it's, like I said, pretty dry, but when you nail it down, basically what it is it's a 30% tax incentive to Australian game developers who have projects over $500,000, which it doesn't take you much to get to there. And Slatos, thank you so much for that sub. Very much appreciated, my dude.
Thank you.
But, and it just, it's, more investment in the Australian games market, the indie market in particular, that would just help them get their projects off the ground.
Yeah, I think it's a really great, you know, kind of next step they're looking at to encourage the development of more Aussie-made games and stuff. And, you know, we love talking about our indie games on this podcast, and everyone at Goa team and community also loves their fair share of indie games too. So to see it continue to be supported in this way is really exciting. And it even says here the DGTO, the Digital Games Tax Offset, in this article here says it will complement this fund and help make Australia among the best places in the world to make video games. And I'm all for that.
Yep. And we've already, we got some incredibly talented people here. Cult of the Lamb, Melbourne Studio.
Unpacking.
Unpacking, yeah.
Hollow Knight.
Untitled Goose Game that we spoke about earlier. That was a Melbourne studio that did that.
Yep.
Phantom Abyss, which I absolutely love, is another Australian studio that made that. And there are so many, like you saw at PAX, walking around the PAX floor. Like I still want, I cannot wait for Hollow Hero. I know it's probably still a fair way off, but
yeah.
I love the idea of this big lumbering wombat that I'm forever going to be calling the Combat Wombat, and it's going to happen.
The Combat Wombat. Yeah. I love that you still talk about combat.
I know,
like,
I know.
That's really stuck with you, like, since you first saw it.
It's stuck with everybody. Like, I don't know, like, Combat Wombat has just been in my mind for years just because it rhymes, and, like, you hear stories about, you know, Australia has big open roads. Like, it's a lot to get stuff to places, and truck drivers will run through kangaroos, they'll run through a lot of other stuff, they'll swerve for wombats.
I probably looked very rude going to my phone now because I said Hollow Knight, because this is new. Like, I probably late to the party here. I did not know that Team Cherry were based in Adelaide. So when I said Hollow Knight, I was like, I'm sure Hollow Knight was, because and we never got a chance to talk about this, but if you go to the I think it's the where do we go together?
ACMI.
There was a fabulous section which had a showcase for Unpacking, and then I saw Hollow Knight, and I went, Hollow Knight, Australia. I was like, how did I not know this? And it was a beautiful, beautiful display. Actually, they had a whole dedicated section for gaming there, celebrating not just Australian games, but gaming on a worldwide level, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
It was awesome to look at. But yeah, I don't know. It just makes me even more excited. I think we've been inundated with some good local Aussie kind of news and information that's all up for, like, supporting the development of more games.
That's it. And of course, if you want to be on the cutting edge of getting some of these games, don't forget about Three Little Pixels as well. So this is an up-and-coming Australian video game platform that is working to get more visibility for indie devs as well from Australia. So it's something that Goa is kind of a part of. It's loosely, I don't know how much we can talk about the ins and outs of that, but it's going to be an amazing project. And the big thing about it is that when you sign up, which you can do now at register.3lp.com.
It's register.3littlepixels.com/login. You can get your gamer tag now.
That's it, and sign up for that. And they're very close to getting the beta up and running for it. So at the moment, it's very bare bones. You can just sign up, secure your gamer tag. I've got my Straight Jacket Gym one.
I've got my Stormy. And it's just, I think I said this last week, but it's just Stormy.
No Stormy players.
No. I was one of those people that got sucked into getting a Hive account recently, and I couldn't even get a Stormy there. I was too late to that boat, and I was upset. So if I've got anything that has Stormy on it, it's Three Little Pixels now. I'm happy about that.
And yeah, it'll be amazing. Like, we've seen a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and it's going to be so good. And the pay as you play model, so you don't buy the game outright to begin with. You pay as you play through the game. So yeah, it's going to be great.
Stay tuned.
Go sign up now. It's going to be amazing.
Amazing.
But you know what's not been quite amazing?
That's also.
I know. I'm on fire with these segues at the moment. It's great.
Well, it's only because we know what you're like. You and me know what you're going to get into. Go on, tell me what hasn't been so amazing.
Apparently, the new Pokemon release has not been so crash hot.
Oh, well, good God.
So it has been fairly crashy by the look of it, but not crash hot. So, like, I'm I've played Pokemon Arceus. I still play Pokemon Go on my phone. But the mainline Pokemon titles, I kind of stay clear of. I don't really play them.
Yep.
But seeing some of the footage that's coming out of this, it's like, oh, my God, have they released this in alpha? It's just like, oh, my God, it's just...
It's hard. I was falling into the trap of getting like every new Pokemon game that was coming out every year because I have no self-control. Again, referring back to the beginning of the stream, we're talking about backlogs and stuff.
What, one for you, one for T?
One for me, one for T. It was one for me and one for Charlie Golf. So we, you know, then we trade and everything, all of that kind of stuff, you know? And then I gave this one a miss this year. I think the last one we got was Sword and Shield. It's a weird one. And tell me if you notice this too. So if you have or haven't seen, well, I've mainly seen it on Twitter and TikTok and stuff. This game has been so buggy. Textures or even parts of the whole map not loading in, Pokemon falling through the ground or not even appearing, or certain like NPCs just doing weird stuff out of nowhere. But then at the same time, I'm also seeing people say this is like a really, really fun game or like one of the most fun they've had in Pokemon. So it's a really weird thing. And this is my two cents on it. And I could be wrong. You could disagree with me. But it's weird because obviously Pokemon has this really, really big following. And usually with any other game that might be performing like this that maybe doesn't have much of a following is absolutely slammed for it. But then this one, I feel like even amongst all the crashes and the weird stuff, there's still a lot of really good reception around it too. Like it hasn't been as harsh. It's more like, oh, it crashes and it bugs out. Ha ha, that's really funny. Whereas I feel like some other games that we've seen this year that may have been doing the same thing, it's like, oh, this unfinished game, blah, blah, blah. I need to spend $80 for this game to like not work. It's, I don't know. What do you think?
I think there's a couple of things to it. And yes, there are definitely issues in this. Like just the sheer amount of videos that you've seen come out of people falling through floors, things just not loading until they're right there, and just various other graphical bugs. I just wonder as well how much of it comes down to the power of the Switch. Because we're looking at the Switch. The Switch is 5.5 years old now. It came out March 2017. And yeah, we had the OLED model, but that was a screen upgrade and an internal storage upgrade. There wasn't any upgrades to the, I'll get the words, like the CPU and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's a system.
I have a slight like rebuttal there, but like, did you play Pokemon Arceus?
Yes.
Did that have as many problems as this one's looking at right now? Because if we're talking about...
It didn't, but there was definite draw distance issues. So
yeah, do you think that also comes down to the power of the Switch as well? Because yes. Like it's hard, right? Because was Arceus also Game Freak? Or that was someone else?
No, I think it was Game Freak.
Yeah, because like it's weird because I feel like visually this game has just kind of gone a bit backwards. Because you look at Bayonetta 3, like compared to Bayonetta 3 then, like you play Bayonetta 3 and you look at the graphics, I must admit, I did have...
Don't get me wrong, Bayonetta 3 was good fun. I had a couple of issues here and there. Graphically, I had no issues with it.
Yeah, well, that's what I don't understand because it looks like when I look at when we looked at gameplay footage of Bayonetta 3 when you talked about it a few weeks ago and you compare it to the footage that I'm seeing of Pokemon Scarlet and Violet at the moment, it doesn't – like the math doesn't make sense to me. So I don't – like I'm not sure how much it comes down to the power of the Switch if it can put off really good games like – or pull off, sorry, really good games like Bayonetta 3 or Xenoblade and things like that. Mm. But then Pokemon Scarlet and Violet are struggling to render things.
I think for Bayonetta particularly is different because the levels are linear. Like and Arceus and I'm pretty sure Violet and Scarlet are trying to be more open world. Mm. And the minute you do that where you can look at something off in the distance and say, I'm heading for that, like the way it loads stuff in is... Yeah, there has to be a way to load it in. And I always remember, like, in Arceus, you see, most of the time you don't see it because the Pokemon are down on the ground and they don't load in until they're right there.
Mm.
But the flying Pokemon in Arceus, you'd see them. They would be, like, pixelated things. They'd be fly and just moving like that until you got really close to them and then they'd be the more...
Smooth.
Yeah, and I can see the same things happening with Violet and Scarlet. But the issue then becomes, why is the collision detection so terrible and people falling through the floor?
It's like almost embarrassing, I feel like, for Game Freak and Pokemon because Pokemon is arguably one of the biggest games out there. They have a lot of money. Like, why are we letting a game that's performing like this in this quality, like come out in this fashion? I've always had like, not secondhand embarrassment, it's probably even too strong to consider that kind of feeling towards this game, but it's just like, why? Like, you kind of just expect a bit more. Like, Sword and Shield look nicer than than this. And it's disappointing. And it's weird because, like, obviously, I haven't played this one yet and you haven't played this one yet, but a lot of people are still saying they're having fun. And I've kind of stopped playing Pokemon, admittedly, because it kind of felt like more of the same. And I know that's what Arceus was trying to get away from and, like, take a different direction with it. But I'm curious to know why, just genuine, like, to know why people are loving this one a lot at the same time, regardless of those bugs and those really funky issues that I keep seeing going viral everywhere. Yeah.
There was a question in chat from Gamey Game Fest. Should I get a Switch? I will be traveling for work for the next 3 months, or is it too far gone? Look, the Switch is getting old. I'm not going to pad that out. It's getting old. There are some issues that it has. Even Breath of the Wild that came out when the game launched, if you've got rain and wind and the grass moving all at the same time and then combat, the Switch struggles.
It's a lot.
That said, Breath of the Wild is an amazing game. Mario Odyssey is an amazing game. Mario Kart 8 is one of the best-selling Mario Kart games ever.
Ever.
There are a lot still
being supported.
Yeah, and there's... And Pokemon Arceus, for its sometimes graphical issues, is fun.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can take the Switch and play wherever is a big thing. And I think that until they announce the next Switch, next console that they're going to make, I would very much recommend getting a Switch.
If I hadn't got a Switch, and this is just my opinion, if I didn't have one already, I'd go for the OLED if you can afford it. Just because I have a friend who got the OLED and I have the previous one. And it is gorgeous. And that I mean, if you're playing it handheld, and like what you said, Gamey Game Face, like if you're traveling, you're going to really be able to appreciate that screen so much more than keeping it docked, which is what my family usually do, whereas then I would go for the normal Switch. Everything that Jim said as well about performance, like, yes, it could struggle a little bit, but I think if you go into it knowing, look, I'm buying a handheld console, it can only do so much. I think it still has a really good variety of games for you to play, especially if you're going on several hour trips and things like that. I've taken it on every airplane trip I think I've ever been on. When I went to Japan before COVID, that went everywhere with me. And it's not too bulky. It's nice to take around with you, take to a mate's place, good for games nights. I mean, it is, in my opinion, the best kind of co-op console out there because no one else really supports local co-op as much anymore.
Yeah. You get two players on Xbox and PlayStation if you're lucky. The Switch still does four.
I think as well, the Nintendo, I found, and you can disagree with me on this, but the Nintendo, in terms of the variety of games this time around on the Switch, I feel like there's definitely a bigger variety in terms of genres and titles because you can get games like The Witcher, Dead by Daylight, games like that. Obviously, they're more demanding games and the Switch, like we said, will probably struggle a little bit playing.
Or you get the cloud version ones, like Control came to the Switch, but it was cloud version.
Yeah,
so
Resident
Evil.
Some of those remake titles are also coming by cloud. We both played the Switch and we could definitely vouch for it. I think it's just good to know that when you are getting it, you are getting a handheld console. It's not going to be powerful as your TV ones, but for ones taking on the go, like, again, if I didn't have one already, I'd save up a bit for an OLED just because I think it's, you might as well just get the best one out there if you're taking it hand.
I like the extra storage on it, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. I'm starting to fill mine up with my normal one a little bit, but I can be pretty ruthless with it. So
I had a laugh when the OLED Switch got announced and they're saying, look at this. And like the kickstand got a shout out in the vid, but the extra storage didn't. It went from like 32 gig to 64. And it's like you've just doubled the storage on the Switch and that's not one of your major selling points.
Yeah, but the kickstand is.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
I wonder if it's because a lot of people kept breaking off the kickstand, which like on the original one, and they're like, well, yeah, he's got a proper one.
Yeah, it is a little flimsy bit of plastic on the original Switch. But anyway, like, for me, Nintendo comes back to what we were talking about earlier with the games. You don't buy a Nintendo console because it's the most powerful, because Nintendo consoles haven't been the most powerful since the Nintendo 64 and Super Nintendo days. You buy them because they make great games.
Mm.
And Pokemon is made by Game Freak and the Pokemon Company, so it's not – I'd probably call it a second-party title. But you buy it for your Zeldas, your Marios, your
the exclusives, yeah, like we were talking about before.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And there's a reason those games keep their prices. You go try and buy Breath of the Wild now, it's still 70, 80 bucks.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen that drop down cheaper than that. That's something – that's actually a really good point to keep in mind. I mean, look out for Black Friday sales, because you might get – even the Nintendo eShop, you'll probably find some good gems on there too if you want to get some digitally. We just went on a big Pokemon. Oh, sorry, not even Pokemon, just a nice little console.
We had some good chats. Good discussions about that. And I think we should probably look at finishing up very shortly, because I think we've hit over the hour mark.
We have.
Just a little bit. We've had a lot of fun. It's been great. Thanks, everybody, for dropping in. Thank you to those that have donated to our Movember fund, and thank you for the subs. The chats, so good tonight.
The bants. We've got only a few days left to the end of November for our Movember campaign. Obviously, this is a really tight year, this time of the year for everybody. But if you have got a few dollars and you would like to donate, or even if you can't, spread the word around of our campaign, and a campaign link, our Tiltify link has been circling around in the chat. Feel free to just sharing. It's fine. I think it's all about raising that awareness as well. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.